This is the Tao of Christ, and I am Marshall Davis. In this podcast, I explore the mystical roots of Christianity, which Jesus called the Kingdom of God, which I refer to as Christian non-duality, unitive awareness, or union with God. Others call it non-dual awareness, liberation, enlightenment, or spiritual awakening. It is the heart of all spiritual traditions. This is the Tao of Christ. Good morning, this is Marshall Davis. Four times in 3 days, I was confronted with the question of heaven and hell. One came in an email correspondence I was having, another was on a Zoom call I was having, and then I was reading a book by Richard Rohr, and it came up, and then last Sunday, that was the topic of the sermon in the church that we attended last Sunday. So I thought, you know, maybe this is a good time to address this issue again. I've addressed it before, but maybe this is a time to revisit the subject. During the summer, when the weather is good, we attend a outdoor worship service held by a congregational church in a neighboring town. And in her sermon last Sunday, the pastor talked about her ordination exam, which happened 5 years ago. And in preparation for that ordination council, she invited some clergy friends of hers to send her the most challenging questions that they could think of that might be asked during the oral examination. One person emailed her the question, "Is Gandhi in heaven?" He followed up with another email. He said, "Is Hitler in heaven?" And finally, he asked a third question, "How about child abusers? What about if a child abuser abused one of your children? Is that person in heaven?" Those questions are designed to test the limits of our understanding of salvation and to test the limits of God's grace and justice. The scripture text for her message was John 3:17, that often is not mentioned along with John 3:16, which is quoted all the time. But John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The pastor did a very good job addressing these questions in her sermon, coming down strongly on the grace of God, coming close to, and I think embracing, universalism. But throughout the sermon, I kept thinking about how I would preach the sermon, how I would approach those questions. I tend to do that a lot when I'm listening to other people preach, occupational hazard. So first, if I was doing this, I would address what heaven is. There's a lot of misunderstanding in that. Heaven is not a place. You know, we tend to use these spatial metaphors and take them literally. It's as if heaven is up in the sky somewhere and hell is down underneath the earth somewhere. I think people in Jesus' time actually took it literally, just like a lot of people today who have this pre-scientific thinking take this literally. That's why the Gospels have Jesus bodily ascending into heaven like he was Superman or a space shuttle or something. As if heaven is right beyond the clouds and Jesus is waiting up there hanging out with his dad until one day he's going to return from there to here, coming to earth to usher in his kingdom on earth. Now, these spatial ideas are enshrined in interpretations of the Christian doctrines of the ascension of Christ and the second coming of Christ. But we know now that heaven is not a place in the stratosphere. You know, we've been in the stratosphere beyond. Heaven is not a place in outer space. You can't get there by a spaceship. You can't get to hell by digging a hole or going through a cave. When you listen carefully to what Jesus says, you realize that Jesus knew this too. It's clear that Jesus says that the kingdom of God is here now. He said the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Which, as I have often said, can be translated, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you, meaning all around you. In the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus says this clearly, the kingdom of the Father is spread out upon the earth, and people do not see it. Spirituality is not spatial or temporal. The kingdom of heaven also is not about the body or about the psyche. The Apostle Paul said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The body is perishable. So is the ego. This human personality of ours is a product of the brain, which is an organ of the body. When the brain dies, this personality construct dies, the personal self dies, which means there's no gated community up in the clouds somewhere for personal egos to go when they leave the body. And when we die, the mortal self and the mortal body die. There is no ghost in the machine. You know, this light, fuzzy, light creature or something that leaves the body at death and is transported then upward to heaven or downward to hell, like in that Patrick Swayze movie, Ghost. You know, that's the way people think things are. Gandhi did not go anywhere when he was shot and killed. Hitler did not go anywhere when he committed suicide in a bunker in Berlin. So the question is, did Hitler go to heaven? And the answer is no, not in that sense. There's no little entity with a warped personality and a ridiculous mustache standing before the throne of God. Thoughtful Christians struggle with questions like this, of who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. And they try to balance justice and grace and love and mercy and find just the right mix. But the problem is the question. It's the wrong question. And there is no right answer to a wrong question. It's not a question of who goes where. It's not a question of love and grace and justice, much less reward and punishment for these individual little spiritual entities. The right question is who and what we really are. Who or what survives the death of the body? That's the question. Who am I? What am I? This is called the spiritual practice of self-inquiry. When one knows the answer to that question, not intellectually, but experientially, then all these issues about heaven and hell, who is saved and who is lost and how and why, all that falls away. Heaven and hell are not places in an afterlife. Heaven and hell are symbols of the experience of the individual self here and now. Evil people are in hell here and now. They are suffering here and now. The first noble truth of the Buddha is life is suffering. Another way of saying that is life is hell. Buddha is offering a way out of this suffering, and Christians look for a way to escape hell. The problem is that Christians think the hell is someplace else, and some time else, when the truth is it is here now. People commit suicide because life is hell for them, and they're trying to escape it, and that's what comes to mind. That's what they do. The kingdom of hell is within you, just like the kingdom of heaven is within you. A person who is living in hell now makes life hell for others. That's a source of all types of abuse in this life. The ego creates its own hell here and now, and it brings people into that hell, their own hell. Hitler's life was a living hell, and he made life a living hell. for millions of people. The Nazi concentration camps were hell for the people imprisoned there. It was hell created by the hellion Adolf Hitler. Evil people live in their own personal hell. They create hell and they spread hell through their words and their actions and the way they treat people. Hitler knew it would be hell if he had to face the legal consequences for his hellish behavior before all the world if he was captured. And that's why he killed himself. But he did not escape judgment. See, he experienced judgment. He was experiencing it then and there, which is why he took his life. Heaven is likewise here and now. Heaven is egolessness. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Godly people are living in heaven now. Now, that doesn't mean there's not physical suffering now by people, by good people. Godly people endure great suffering with great faith. And it's not dependent upon what religion you have, what ideas you have about the afterlife. Gandhi lived in heaven during his lifetime while identifying as a Hindu. And there are some Christian preachers who are so hateful and abusive toward their families and toward their church people that they are living in their own personal hell and making their families and churches a living hell. The parables of Jesus that speak about a judgment day and speak about heaven and hell are to be interpreted in this light. They're not about a day of reckoning sometime in the future. Judgment day is here now. Justice is here now. The past and the future are in our imagination. There's only here now. The separation of the sheep and the goats that Jesus talks about is here now. Lazarus and the rich man are here now. These are dualistic metaphors that Jesus is using to describe this dualistic world. Heaven and hell are now. But what about after death? Is there nothing after death? If the ego, the personal self, dies, does that mean there's nothing when the body dies? Is it simply non-existence for us? Never-ending nothingness? Extinction? That's what some former fundamentalist Christians fear. They are afraid if they give up their childhood understanding of religion and afterlife, then they're throwing away a ticket to an eternal celestial paradise, and they will never see their loved ones again. What happens after death? We survive death, but not as who we thought we were, not as egos. The ego does not survive death, but who we really are survives death. Remember, the right question is, who am I? What am I? And if the ego does not survive death, what does survive death? The good news is that you already know the answer to this question. You know who you really are. You know you're not the ego. If you have had any glimpse of non-dual reality, then you know what you are. You just need to identify that, focus in on that, and identify as that. You are what you've always been. You are what you were before your body was formed in your mother's womb. You are what you were before the self-conscious ego was formed by the brain between the ages of 2 and 3, which is why you don't remember anything before the age of 2 or so. You are what you are in dreamless sleep when the ego is dormant. And you will be after death what you were before birth. That's what you are. And that's not nothing. That is divine. You come from God and return to God. Is God nothing? Of course not. You were one with God before birth, and you are one with God now, and you will be one with God after death. That's the kingdom of heaven. Now, some people call this pure consciousness. I like the word intelligence or being. Thomas Merton calls this the true self, which is also a good term. We are that which is not born and cannot die. The true self survives death. And that true self is expressed in and through what sometimes is called the false self or the little self. The big self is expressed in the little selves. Being is expressed in all beings, all creatures on this earth, including human beings. So just because the body of Marshall Davis will die one day does not mean that I die. I am much more than the ego that identifies as Marshall Davis. I am in every person. When we die, we live on in everyone. This is the fulfillment of the common hope that so many of us have, Christians and people who are just normally Christians, that hope that we'll be reunited with loved ones at death. That is true, but not in the sense that we thought. We are eternally one with our loved ones in a deeper way than our minds or our hearts or our theologies can imagine. Nothing and no one who has ever existed is lost or separated from God or from you. They are here now, will always be here now. No one is dead. Jesus said of God, so he is a God of the living and not the dead, for they are all alive to him. Everyone is alive to God. Now, all life forms are simultaneously in the kingdom of God, because there's only now the divine present, which is divine presence. At death, these mortal expressions that we think of as ourselves are reunited with the source, with the one God, whom we have never really been separated from. How could we possibly be? We're not separated except in our imagination, in our understanding. So we're one with God. We're united with God, and we're united with our loved ones who have died. They are alive in God. They are one with God who is beyond our dualistic conceptions of past, present, and future, good and evil, heaven and hell. In other words, nothing is lost and no one is lost, including all those personal selves that were always actually expressions of God. Everyone is in God, and God is in everyone. We are all one with this eternal reality, and that includes Hitler and Gandhi, not the twisted little ego called Adolf, but who and what he really is, the one true self. We are Hitler. And Hitler is us. The same with Gandhi and all sinners and saints. Until we realize that, until we realize who we really are, we will spend our whole lives wondering about these questions. And we will spend our whole lives judging others and judging ourselves in an earthly hell of our own making. This realization of who we are is what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. And that is it for today. Grace and peace to you. That is the Tao of Christ for today. Thank you for listening. You can access other episodes of this podcast at thetaoofchrist.com. You can also find these podcasts in video format at my YouTube channel at christiannonduality.net. My blog, Spiritual Reflections, can be found at marshalldavis.us. There you will also find a link to my books and my email address. Join me next time for another episode of The Tao of Christ.